Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Friday, December 20, 2024 edition of the Greeley Tribune. This is being recorded on Friday, December 20, 2024. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Preserving Heritage, History, and Traditions by Anne Delaney. Weld Case Against Former PI Upheld by Chris Bolin. Former punter Hunter Green named to FCS All-America Team by Anne Delaney. And University Girls Hoops Stays Undefeated by Chris Bolin. And following up with miscellaneous articles. Greeley Central, Preserving Heritage, History, and Traditions. High School Induct Third Athletic Hall of Fame Class by Anne Delaney, A-D-E-L-A-N-E-Y, at GreeleyTribune.com. With pom-poms in hand and an 80-year-old grin, Janet Vanderhoof stepped onto the court Tuesday night to relive her days as a Greeley High School cheerleader, this time alongside the current Wildcats squad. Her performance marked one of the many touching moments during the Greeley High School, Greeley Central High School Athletic Hall of Fame ceremony, where generations of Wildcats shared stories, applause, and a sense of place in Greeley Central's legacy. Greeley Central was previously known as Greeley High School, before the name was changed in the 1960s. Current Central students staffed the entrance and guided guests through the school before the ceremony at the school's Bagot Gymnasium. Displays with memorabilia and newspaper clippings were set up in the adjacent cafeteria in tribute to this year's inductees. Digital versions of old black-and-white films played on large monitors, showing video of basketball inductees Larry Anderson and Patty Slider. "It's overwhelming," said Greeley Central graduate Rick Wallace, inducted as a member of the 1966 state championship tennis team. "It was an honor to be selected, and it's more grandiose than I was prepared for." At Greeley Central, the oldest high school in the city and previously known as Greeley High School, the Hall of Fame means more than statistics, awards, and championships. There are people behind the plaques, and in the faded photos wearing antiquated uniforms from decades ago. The honored students from the past, in many ways, are not drastically different from the students who claim Greeley Central as theirs today. All have a story, and parts of themselves beyond the field of play, beyond the theater, the music rooms, their clubs, and their classes. The school set out to show the stories of the five individuals and three teams who were being inducted. Greeley Timothy, the Greeley High 1953 state championship cross-country team. Anderson Vanderhoof, the Greeley Central 1966 state championship tennis team. Slider, Shannon Mihalton, and the 2005 state championship golf team. Timothy, a 1921 Greeley High graduate named for the city, led Greeley High to state championships in football and basketball during the 1920 through 21 school year. The 1953 state championship cross-country team earned the only boys' cross-country championship in school history, featuring coach Joe Springston and runners Manuel Alcaraz, Dallas Austerly, Keith Bame, Frank Gonzalez, Glenn Ruth, and Jim Gonzalez. Anderson was a 1956 Greeley High graduate and standout basketball and baseball player, known as the Little General, for his smarts rather than his height. Anderson, 87, came from Birmingham, Alabama with his daughters, Kelly and Tracy, to attend the ceremony. About 25 Anderson family and friends were expected to gather with him to celebrate. Anderson's son, Joel, and sister, Donna Upton, live in Greeley. Anderson went to the University of Colorado on a basketball scholarship, and he also played baseball. He dropped both sports after his sophomore year because of his shoulder injury. He joined the Buffs golf team and competed in the 1960 NCAA tournament. Anderson said he thinks of his days at Greeley High School all the time. I remember them well, he added. Someone asked me, are you excited by the Hall of Fame induction? Anderson said. I said, no, I'm pleased and blessed. There might not have been a better visual on the history and tradition than Vanderhoof, who performed a routine with the current Wildcats squad. She was a member of Greeley High's class of 1962 before she finished school in Texas. Vanderhoof was the first cheerleader to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. After she was presented for induction, with her credentials read by Greeley Central teacher and Hall of Fame committee member Kevin Ronke, Vanderhoof stepped back in time. Vanderhoof performed from her days as a Wildcats cheerleader, surrounded by the current cheerleaders practicing their own routine. It's one of the highlights of the 3 years of the Hall of Fame classes, said Ronke, a 1989 Central graduate and new Hall of Famer, as an assistant coach with the 2005 golf team. She jumped in. If reared in a different era, Vanderhoof said she would have competed in sports rather than cheered for athletes. She grew up in a family of athletes and, later, raised one of her own. In the early 1960s, the opportunities for girls to participate in sports were far fewer than today, if girls' sports existed at all. Vanderhoof said soccer and a newer sport for girls, flag football, would have appealed to her. I love to compete, said Vanderhoof, now living in Lakewood. I would have been involved as an athlete over cheerleader if sports were offered then. Vanderhoof started cheering as an elementary school-aged girl, rooting for her older brother's Greeley High basketball teams in the late 1940s and early 50s, according to biographical information from the Hall of Fame committee. She started a cheer team with four other girls at Cameron Elementary, and she continued the activity at Heath Junior High School. She participated in a roller skating speed club at the old Warnoco roller skating rink on 2nd Street, and she swam and was a diver with the Warnoco Swim Club in the late 50s. Vanderhoof, in 1967, graduated from Colorado State College, now the University of Northern Colorado. She was a cheerleader for the Bears and continued diving in college. I have fond memories of going to school in Greeley and participating in all the school activities, she said. The 1966 state championship tennis team consisted of Wallace, Rick Moore, doubles players Randy Elgin, Mark Stewart, and Wally Clayton and Tom Senches. Coach Earl Wells had a heart attack in the summer 1966 and couldn't coach. Assistant coach Don Gorman, also a wrestling coach, filled in, and former Central State champion and University of Colorado graduate student and Big Eight conference champion Rich Hillway regularly drove up from Boulder to help. Slighter was a 1981 Greeley Central graduate who had not played basketball before her sophomore year and went on to be a four-year letter winner and team captain at the University of Colorado Boulder. Mahalton was a track and field athlete in the Greeley Central class of 1998, a state champion the same year in the triple jump, and a state runner-up in the 300-meter hurdles and long jump. She went to Hastings College on a volleyball and track scholarship. They're from Greeley, and they're Wildcats, and they're part of something bigger, said Brett Shaw, a member of the seven-person Hall of Fame committee and retired Greeley Central American history teacher and coach. What we're trying to do is preserve the heritage, history, and traditions of the school. Shaw was largely responsible for researching information on the inductees, and the stories were written up in a comprehensive 40-plus page booklet. The ceremony was held in between the girls' and boys' varsity basketball games Tuesday night against Thompson Valley. The Hall of Fame class was the third honored by the school in a little less than 2 years. Central's first Hall of Fame class was inducted in January 2023, and a second class followed in December 2023. Shaw and Ronke were members of the Hall of Fame committee with athletic director Sean Scribick, retired physician education teacher and coach Barb Johnson, physical education teacher Troy Grafe, retired physics teacher Patty Martinez, physical education teacher and volleyball coach Marissa Glenn, and physical education teacher and baseball coach Zach Brockman. Grafe said the ceremony was held days before the start of winter break because it was the only date on the calendar for a boys' and girls' basketball game before the holidays and the end of 2024. They wanted to host the 2024 class in 2024, and the committee wanted the event at Greeley Central rather than during a football game at District 6 Stadium. "People came to this school," Grafe said. "We like to do it here in the castle." Greeley Central students and staff have called the building the Castle, dating to the 1980s. Central's castle specifically refers to the vine-covered section facing 14th Avenue that was built in the late 1920s. "We try to bridge the old and the new together so students see this is where they come from," Skribik said. Courts. Weld case against former PI upheld. By Chris Bolin. CBOLIN at GreeleyTribune.com. Proceedings in the case of a former investigative consultant accused of providing methamphetamine and fentanyl to an inmate during professional visits to smuggle into the Weld County Jail will continue in Weld District Court after a Colorado Supreme Court ruling issued Thursday. The defense for Laura Tellers, 53, filed a Rule 21 petition Tuesday, requesting the case not proceed to trial as scheduled for three reasons. The petition alleged Teller's right to a speedy trial was violated, the Weld District Attorney's Office should be disqualified for reviewing and possessing private information, and Teller's was wrongfully denied the ability to use the contents of her phone to help her case at trial. A Rule 21 petition asks the Supreme Court to overrule a trial court order that requires immediate correction. The Colorado Supreme Court issued an order on Thursday to show cause that the Weld District Court did not err in any of the actions the defense listed. Tellers is set to stand trial starting January 6, but in a pretrial readiness conference Tuesday, Prosecutor Tim McCormack said the prosecution was in the exact same position as we were in July when it came to reviewing the cell phone evidence. At that time, they had not had a chance to review the phone records. This time, they have been unable to review the phone due to proceedings in the Marquis Daniels case. The inmate Tellers is accused of providing drugs to. Tellers was arrested November 17, 2023, on suspicion of two counts each of conspiracy to distribute drugs and knowingly introducing contraband after a nearly month-long investigation. She pleaded not guilty to all charges in a status conference February 13. Police say Tellers provided 28-year-old Daniels meth and fentanyl in documents addressed to him during professional visits. Daniels would then use rubber bands to strap the drugs to himself and smuggle them back into the jail, according to an affidavit for Teller's arrest. Daniels has been in the Weld jail since January 2021, in connection with the December 2020 killing of Blair McQueen. Teller's was working for Sedlak Law, which was representing Daniels in a murder case. She has since been removed from the Sedlak Law website's list of staff. Through an informant, police learned Daniels would broker the deals from inside the jail, according to law enforcement records. Then, several people would pick up the drugs from 27-year-old Ethan Butts, who was in a Lakewood Intervention Community Corrections Services facility, and either drop them off or mail them to Teller's Fort Collins address, according to the affidavit. Daniels told the informant that Teller's would bring 2 ounces of meth and 200 suspected fentanyl pills at a time, police allege. The informant said the pills that came in the last delivery Tellers brought September 28 were very strong, to the point that inmates were overdosing on just a quarter of a pill. Daniels overdosed in his cell October 4 and had to be revived with Narcan. He was found with meth and fentanyl in his cell a week later, on October 11, according to arrest records. Teller's phone, which her defense has argued contains attorney-client privileged information, as well as evidence that would show Teller's innocence, was confiscated when she was arrested in November 2023. In a December 2023 hearing, Vigil required the production of additional phone records beyond what can be accessed by a basic phone extraction report, including some call and text data, as well as calendar appointments and other information. Peraglia said the additional phone records, which show a more complete call and text history, would help fill in gaps left by the extraction report. Prosecutors received the extraction report of Teller's phone at the beginning of a July 9 hearing, just 13 days before her trial was slated to start. The file was 23 gigabytes, and Peraglia said it would likely take weeks to comb through it all. The phone, which has led to all of these issues, lead defense attorney Lee Christian said in a pretrial readiness conference Tuesday, never has one piece of evidence led so many issues. All three of the issues the defense raised in the Rule 21 filing directly stem from the court's handling of Teller's phone. First, the petition alleged that Well District Judge Vicente Vigil was wrong in granting the prosecution a six-month continuance in that July 9 hearing. The district attorney delayed in asking for a continuance until 13 days before trial, having known well before then they would request additional time to prepare for trial, the defense wrote in the petition. The district attorney had numerous opportunities to inquire as to the reason for the delay. Next, it alleged the Well District Court released the contents of the entire phone instead of a redacted version, compromising not only this case, but also Daniel's case. And while the district attorney's office still has the unredacted phone records, the petition alleged Tellers was required to return the phone download to Daniel's attorney. She was also ordered not to use any evidence found on the phone to help her case at trial and not to discuss the phone, according to the petition. At a minimum, the court should order the trial court to permit Ms. Tellers to be able to use the contents of her own phone at trial, the defense wrote in the petition. There is no set number of petitions the Supreme Court will grant, but it usually only grants 5 to 10% of petitions filed each year regarding cases from lower courts, according to the Colorado Judicial Branch website. Tellers has a status conference scheduled for 8:30 a.m. today in Weld District Court. Eaton High School. FFA collects more than 8,000 items in food drive. By Morgan McKenzie. MMCKENZIE at GreeleyTribune.com. Eaton High School's FFA concluded a successful annual food drive to support 58 local families in need, just in time for the holidays. All district schools in Eaton collected 8,673 non-perishable food items between November 11 and December 9 for families nominated by each school, according to Melissa Oxiger, an agricultural education instructor and FFA advisor at Eaton High School. Local ag producers also contributed produce for the annual drive. FFA members then split donations into individualized baskets and delivered them to the families. Oxiger said each basket contained 120 items, including one ham, carrots, donated by Hungenberg Produce, onions, donated by Fagerberg Produce, potatoes, donated by Strohauer Farms, and pinto beans, donated by Northern Feed and Bean. The FFA food drive has been aiding families in the district annually for more than 20 years. A heartfelt thank you to everyone who contributed, encouraged student participation, and helped organize this effort, an Eaton FFA Facebook post said. You have made a real difference in the lives of many, and for that we are deeply grateful. Together, we make Eaton an incredible place to live. Disabled American veterans. You can't put a value on it. Local chapter receives bond buried in Greeley time capsule from 1967. By Chris Bolin. See Bolin at GreeleyTribune.com. Lee Burns was only a high school senior in 1967 when members of the Disabled American Veterans placed a bond in a time capsule to be buried under what was then the Greeley Civic Center Complex building, now the downtown DoubleTree Hotel. On Wednesday morning, 57 years later, Burns, now the commander of the local chapter of Disabled American Veterans, was presented with the bond at the Greeley History Museum. I would never have expected this. I figured I was just a peon like everybody else, Burns said with a chuckle. The bond was worth $18.75 when it was buried. It's now worth $125 after it stopped accruing interest after March 1997. Some things may have a monetary value, but they have an emotional value that far exceeds it, Chapter 8 Adjutant John Sledge said. The time capsule was opened in October 2020, and the items within it were displayed at the Greeley History Museum from April 2021 to March 2022. Since that exhibit closed, Greeley Museum's staff have divvied items out to where they belong. Some have gone to the History Colorado Center in Denver, others to local libraries and various city buildings, and some were returned to the families of those who originally buried the items. Greeley Museum's collection registrar, Joanna Stull, said the bond was the final item given out. Burns hopes the bond can serve as a reminder of what Disabled American Veterans does and has done for more than 100 years. People will see it and recognize that we were something, Burns said, and that we still are. Stowe, who was a catalyst in unboxing more than 1,000 items from both this time capsule and another buried by the Greeley Friends and Newcomers Club in Lincoln Park 1970, also unearthed in October 2020, said the bond was the most thoughtful item included in either. We had hundreds of newspaper clippings and just a manner of fun things, Stowe said. But that savings bond, it was just like, wow, somebody gave some thought to what they put in. Though the bond is heading home with the Disabled American Veterans, it may not stay there for long. Both Burns and Sledge say they will discuss what to do with the bond at the organization's next meeting in January. Who knows? It may even end up back at the museum. You know, it's worth $125, Sledge said. But you can't put a value on it. It's a historical item. My personal recommendation right now, when we have the meeting, is to give it right back to the museum. It has more value to the community than it does to us. About Disabled American Veterans. Disabled American Veterans aims to help veterans get assistance and benefits they've earned through their service. It was founded in 1920. Locally, Chapter 8, which spans from Longmont to the Wyoming border and Estes Park east to Fort Morgan, has 452 members after swallowing up a number of smaller surrounding chapters that have gone inactive. Sledge said Chapter 8's first goal is to impact legislation, locally through the national level, to benefit veterans. The organization also has a network of vehicles and drives that help members get to and from medical visits, wherever they may need to be seen. And lastly, Sledge hopes to get more veterans active in the organization. The hardest part is to get the younger veterans involved, Sledge said. The World War II veterans didn't want to turn it over to the Korean veterans, and they didn't want to turn it over to the Vietnam veterans. I'd readily turn it over in a heartbeat. Though the organization caters toward disabled veterans, veterans do not need to be disabled to join. To get in touch with Chapter 8, contact the organization at 970-889-4039 or 970-352-6188. Weld RE9, Board Fires New Superintendent. Troy Dahman held the role for just 5 months. By Morgan McKenzie. M. McKenzie at GreeleyTribune.com. The Weld RE9 Board of Education voted unanimously Tuesday night to fire Superintendent Troy Dahman. Dahman only served 5 months in the role after the board hired him in June to replace former Superintendent Robert Ring, who held the position for 17 years. The decision was made by the Board of Education after careful consideration of the district's needs moving forward. Board President Brian Fabricius wrote to the Tribune, While we are unable to go into specific details about the reasons for this decision, we can confirm that it was based on factors that are in the best interests of the district, our students, our staff, and the community. We remain focused on maintaining the stability and ongoing success of our district during this transition. Fabrizius said the board can only share certain information within the bounds of the applicable laws and regulations. However, at Tuesday's monthly board meeting, Fabrizius informed the public that he spoke with multiple building principals and staff members about Dahman's performance over the past few months. According to Fabrizius, many felt Dahman lacked leadership, providing no guidance or direction to staff. Fabrizius also cited incidents of inappropriate remarks by Dahman that offended people during meetings, but Fabrizius never shared any specifics with Tuesday's crowd. Dahman denied Fabrizius's accusations, stating he never made any inappropriate comments during his time as superintendent. "Sometimes it's not a good fit for both parties," Dahman told the Tribune on Wednesday. "In this situation, that's what happened. That's why the board has asked me to step away." At the monthly board meeting, Jill Althoff, a Weld RE9 parent, voiced her apprehensions about the board's process to decide on terminating his contract, specifically that the community had no say in the discussion. Althoff wished the board would give Dahman a chance to make needed changes in the school district. She said Dahman faced early pushback when he brought in new ideas and a different leadership approach because people don't like change. The school district has experienced the same struggles, such as high staff turnover, for nearly two decades, Althoff said. She felt Dahman could help turn things around if he had a fair amount of time. Dahman brought more than 37 years of education experience and an extensive background of working in rural school districts to the Weld RE9 community, which covers Alt, Pierce, Carr, and Nunn. Previously, who worked as a superintendent for 13 years in a rural school district in southeast Kansas, just over 130 miles from Topeka. The Weld RE9 community had a voice in which candidate, narrowed down to three finalists, would take over for Ring, providing feedback to the board after a meet and greet on June 17. The board then reviewed feedback and interviewed the finalists before quickly announcing Dahman's employment on June 19. In the short-lived role, Dahman took over efforts started under Ring's leadership to pass an $88 million bond in November to build a new K-8 school. Initially, the bond issue appeared to fail, but votes swung in favor by a 52-vote margin, according to Weld County's final election results. Fabrizius confirmed the superintendent's buyout was $168,000, reflecting the employment agreement's terms. During the original contract negotiation, the board landed on this buyout clause to protect Dahman and the district in the event of an early termination, Fabrizius said. The board has now entered the early stages of identifying an interim superintendent, according to the Facebook post. Board members hope to smoothly transition into next semester with a candidate in place when school resumes after winter break. The Weld RE9 community will receive updates as more information becomes available. The board sincerely thanks Mr. Dahman for his service and contributions to our schools and community, the board wrote. We wish him the best in his future endeavors. Drug charges. Affidavit. Man sold meth to undercover investigator. By Chris Bolin. See Bolin at GreeleyTribune.com. A man is in the Weld County Jail after police say they tied him to a pair of large drug deals, including selling a pound of methamphetamine to an undercover investigator in October. Police arrested 43-year-old Carlos Gonzalez Del Hoyo on November 22, exactly a month after the drug deal with the undercover investigator, according to an affidavit. He was found with a large amount of meth and counterfeit fentanyl pills at the time of his arrest in Greeley, police say. Between the two cases, he faces three charges of possession with intent to distribute narcotics, each Class 1 drug felonies, according to Colorado court records. In September, a confidential informant told members of the Weld County Drug Task Force about Gonzalez Del Hoyo selling large quantities of meth and counterfeit blue M30 pills containing fentanyl throughout Denver and northern Colorado. The informant also provided a phone number, which police say they tied to Gonzalez Del Hoyo and was registered to an address in Aurora, and provided police descriptions of two vehicles Gonzalez Del Hoyo was known to drive. On October 8, an investigator started texting Gonzalez Del Hoyo before Gonzalez Del Hoyo called him to discuss a sale, according to the affidavit. Police say Gonzalez Del Hoyo quoted the investigator $1,600 for a pound, equivalent to 16 ounces or 453 grams of meth. After further conversation on October 22, Gonzalez Del Hoyo agreed to sell the investigator the pound of meth for $1,500 and wanted to meet in Decono to make the transaction, according to the affidavit. Police say Gonzalez Del Hoyo later changed the meeting place to Erie. Just before 9:30 p.m. that night, Gonzalez Del Hoyo texted the investigator to let him know he was at the Erie location, according to the affidavit. Undercover officers arrived and say they saw a black Dodge pickup matching one of the vehicles the informant said Gonzalez Del Hoyo drove and identified him as the driver. The investigator arrived roughly 15 minutes later, parked next to Gonzalez Del Hoyo, and then approached his vehicle, getting in the passenger's side, according to the affidavit. While in the truck, Gonzalez Del Hoyo and the investigator discussed purchasing counterfeit M30 pills, and police say Gonzalez Del Hoyo gave the investigator six loose pills to try. As the investigator exited the vehicle with the suspected meth, police say Gonzalez Del Hoyo backed out of the spot he was in and exited the parking lot. The suspected meth later tested presumptive positive for meth and weighed 456.5 grams, according to the affidavit. The six M30 pills were not tested, but police say they weighed 0.7 grams. Exactly a month later, police arrested Gonzalez Del Hoyo in Greeley. Police say they found him with a large amount of meth and counterfeit M30 pills, which he was charged for in a separate case, according to the affidavit. He faces charges of possession with intent to distribute both meth and fentanyl from that case, according to Colorado court records. He has a disposition hearing January 21 in Weld District Court. He has a hearing in the other case that same day. Letters to the editor. Making America fragrant again. You can't make this stuff up. President-elect Trump's latest marketing venture is his Fight, Fight, Fight fragrance, as reported by CBS News December 12, 2024, and posted on Truth Social. The fragrance is named because even your enemies can't refuse you, as you see a picture showing him sitting next to First Lady Jill Biden at the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris on December 7. The fragrance sells for $199 a bottle of cologne for men or perfume for women. It is the perfect Christmas family gift, and the scent symbolizes victory and strength, per Mr. Trump. So, this just adds to the many overpriced Trump-branded products you can own, like Trump God Bless America Bibles and gold high-top basketball shoes. I'm so glad Mr. Trump is making America great again, even though he's inheriting a growing economy with 2.7% inflation and low unemployment that he will take credit for after he takes office. You can't make this stuff up. Ron Bars, Greeley. Bears football. Former punter Hunter Green named to FCS All-America team. Big Sky Conference first-teamer signs with San Diego State from Transfer Portal by Ann Delaney. A. Delaney at GreeleyTribune.com. Hunter Green, one of the most honored Northern Colorado football players in the past two seasons, was named to a football championship subdivision All-America team this week. Green was selected as a third-team punter on the Stats Perform FCS All-America team, it was announced Wednesday. He handled punting and kicking duties for UNC in 2023 and 2024, and he was selected as the Big Sky Conference first team punter this fall. Green was one of 20 players from the Big Sky chosen for the three FCS All-America teams. Green announced Wednesday on social media he signed with San Diego State from the NCAA transfer portal. A 21-year-old from Redmond, Washington, Green said last month on social media he planned to enter the portal with the goal to play at a higher-level Division I program next year. UNC plays at the FCS level of Division I football as a member of the Big Sky. San Diego State is a Football Bowl subdivision program in the Mountain West Conference. The Aztecs were 2-5 in the Mountain West and 3-9 overall in 2024. Green was one of several UNC players to announce their intention to leave the program following the last game of the season, November 23. Defensive lineman Marcus Howard announced his commitment to Austin Peay State University on a social media platform Wednesday. Austin Peay is an FCS program in the United Athletic Conference. Howard recorded 29 tackles, 6 solo, 23 assisted, with 2.5 for loss of yards in 8 games during a season in which he was dogged by injury. Howard played in 11 games in 2023, recording 38 tackles, 14 solo, 24 assisted, with 8 for loss and 6 sacks. He was a Big Sky honorable mention selection following the 2023 season. Green averaged a Big Sky best 46.4 yards per punt for the 1-11 Bears this fall. The per-punt average ranked 5th nationally at the FCS level. Green hit 21 punts over 50 yards with 23 downed inside the opponent's 20-yard line, the best in the Big Sky. His season-best punt was 72 yards against Abilene Christian. Green said earlier this month he thinks he improved his game this year at UNC after he opted to return to the program. Green had the chance to go to the FBS level a year ago. He is considered to have NFL-level talent. "I feel I've proved I can play at a higher level," he said. "I feel I can play at a higher level, and it will help me with my development to the NFL, and taking that step will help." Colorado State University is also a member of the Mountain West Conference, at least through the 2025 season. CSU and Utah State are trying to leave the Mountain West to join a restructured Pac-12 conference. Green was a Big Sky Conference honorable mention selection in 2023. He was a finalist for the Jerry Rice Award, given to the top freshman in FCS. He was also named to an FCS regional team as a kicker. Prep Roundup. University Girls Hoops Stays Undefeated by Chris Bolin. See Bolin at GreeleyTribune.com. Tuesday, boys basketball. Frontier Academy 63, Valley 60 in Gilchrist. The Wolverines pulled out a win in a close one to move their record to 3-3. Valley falls to 0-6 in what was their closest game this season. The Vikings were led by senior Daniel Guerrero, who poured in 21 points on 8 of 13 from the field. Frontier moves to 3-3 with the win. Eaton 71, Fort Lupton 42 in Fort Lupton. After trailing by 1 after the first quarter, the Reds outscored the Blue Devils 23-5 in the second quarter and never looked back. Junior Eli Madalino paced Eaton with 21 points, going 11 of 13 from the charity stripe, 7 rebounds and 6 steals, to move the Reds to 3-2 on the year. Fort Lupton falls to 4-3. Thompson Valley 64, Greeley Central 55. The Wildcats dropped their first Longs Peak Conference game, dropping to 1-3 on the year. Freshman Nehemiah Carrillo led the charge for the Wildcats, dropping in 23 points and grabbing 4 rebounds. Senior Daniel Martinez tacked on 17 points, but shot just 5 of 16 from the field. University 56, Devlin 48 in Greeley. Heading into the fourth quarter, trailing by 4, the Bulldogs outscored the Jaguars 20-8 in the final period to win by 8. After a loss to Denver East the last time out, University moves to 5-2 behind 20 points and 13 rebounds by junior Cohen Nitzel. Severance 61, Berthoud 46 in Berthoud. Severance took a double-digit lead in the first quarter and never looked back to move to 2-0 in Longspeak League play, 5-2 overall. The Silver Knights were led by junior Damari Wright and senior Cameron Rank, who scored 18 and 16 points, respectively. Sterling 62, Platte Valley 46 in Kersey. After falling behind by 10 after the first quarter, Platte Valley was never able to recover, falling to 1-4. All nine Broncos players who got in the game scored in the 16-point loss. Estes Park 73, Union Colony 59 in Greeley. Union Colony lost its second game in a row early this season after starting undefeated, moving the Timberwolves' record to 4-2. Senior Josiah Rodriguez poured in 17 points and pulled down 6 rebounds to lead Union Colony in both categories. Front Range Baptist 69, Briggsdale 14 in Fort Collins. Briggsdale was outmanned against Front Range Baptist, moving the Falcons' record to 2-2 early in the season. Front Range Baptist extended a 24-point halftime lead by shutting Briggsdale out in the third quarter, outscoring the Falcons 25-0. Girls basketball. University 40 peaked a Peak 32 in Lafayette. University stayed perfect on the season, moving to 7-0 on the back of another impressive defense effort. It was only the second time this season the Bulldogs have allowed an opponent to eclipse the 30-point mark. Senior Janae Kravig led University on the offensive end with 14 points. Valley 51, Frontier Academy 49 in Greeley. After giving up a 10-point first-quarter lead, the Vikings recouped in the second half to win a close one, bringing their record to 4-2 on the season. Senior Nevaeh Jimenez led Valley with 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. Frontier Academy drops to 2-4 with the loss. Resurrection Christian 57, Eaton 48. The Cougars jumped on the Reds early in both halves to stay undefeated at 3-0. Behind 21 points from senior Olivia Klein, Resurrection Christian outscored Eaton by a combined 11 points in the first and third quarters. Eaton sophomore Courtney Steinkamp poured in nearly half of Eaton's points, tallying 22 in the loss that dropped the Reds to 3-4. Steinkamp is averaging 20.4 points and 10.1 rebounds per game through Eaton's first 7 contests. Platte Valley 50, Sterling 44 in Kersey. Platte Valley moved to 4-1 behind 22 points and 11 steals by senior Lauren Uyamara. Senior Mia Koffler added 14 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists in the victory. Thompson Valley 41, Greeley Central 34. The Wildcats were never able to get it going on the offensive end, scoring just 34 points, their lowest output of the season. Berthoud 71, Severance 56 in Berthoud. The Silver Knights dropped their first Longspeak League game, falling to 1-1 in league play and 3-4 overall. Briggsdale 56, Front Range Baptist 15 in Fort Collins. Briggsdale allowed just 4 first-half points in a runaway win to move their record to 3-1. Senior Cale Clem paced the Falcons with 14 points on a near-perfect 7 of 8 from the field. Boys wrestling. Roosevelt sweeps Severance and Northridge. In Greeley, Northridge drops duels both. Roosevelt swept a pair of duels, taking down Northridge 74-3 and Severance 55-23. Roosevelt won 13 of 14 matches against the Grizzlies, including 9 by pins and another by technical fall. In the duel versus Severance, the Rough Riders won 10 of 11 matches in the heaviest weight classes after dropping matches in the lowest 3. 7 of Roosevelt's victories came by way of pin. Severance took down Northridge 68-9 in a duel in which the Silver Knights won 12 of 14 matches, including 8 by pins. Girls swimming and diving. Greeley West finishes second in Fort Collins Triangular. Greeley West picked up 6 wins to score 40 points, good for second in a triangular against Fort Collins, 55, and Pooter, 40. Andrea England, 1-meter dive. Maddie Douglas, 50 freestyle, 100 butterfly. Danny Douglas, 100 backstroke, as well as the 200 and 400 relay teams picked up wins. Wednesday, boys wrestling. Fort Lupton sweeps pair of duels against Cherry Creek and Columbine in Littleton. Fort Lupton took down a pair of Denver area schools, topping Cherry Creek 46-35 and Columbine 68-12. The Blue Devils won 8 of 14 matches against Cherry Creek and 12 of 14 against Columbine. Isaiah Rodriguez, 106, Logan Sweetman, 120, Robert Ortiz, 132, Josiah Gonzalez, 138, Dominic Martinez, 157, Christopher Galicia, 175, Donovan Bushman, 190, and Harold McLean, 215, won both their matches for Fort Lupton. Girls wrestling, Greeley West 36, Meade 33 in Greeley. The Spartans picked up a close win over Meade, winning after Allison Laura Zaragoza, 110, picked up a 1 minute 16 second pin in an extra match to settle the tie. All five of the Spartan wins in contested matches came by way of pin. Girls swimming and diving. Eaton takes second, Valley third in triangular with Mountain View in Eaton. Mountain View won all but one event to score 109 points on their way to an easy triangular win over Eaton, 44, and Valley, 6. Eaton's Dharma Perkins was the Reds' lone winner with a time of 27.59 seconds in the 50-meter freestyle. Haley Mestis was the Vikings' top finisher, placing third in the 500 freestyle with a time of 7 minutes 28.48. Roosevelt runs away with triangular in Estes Park. Roosevelt won 8 of 12 events to score 92 points in a triangular against Wellington, 65, and Estes Park, 21. Nora Murin-Rewerts, 1 meter dive. Ayla Dieter, 50 freestyle, 500 freestyle. Addison DeGelder, 100 butterfly, 200 freestyle. Noura Alotaibi, 100 breaststroke, as well as the 200 freestyle and 200 medley relay teams to come gold for the Rough Riders. College volleyball. Bears' Sid Cole named All-American for second time. AVCA tabs graduate student as honorable mention by Ann Delaney. A. Delaney at GreeleyTribune.com. Northern Colorado volleyball player Sid Cole was named an All-American for the second time by a coaches association. The American Volleyball Coaches Association announced Cole as an honorable mention selection on Wednesday. Cole was also an AVCA All-American following the 2022 season. Earning a second All-American award means Cole is only the fifth player in program history with at least two All-American awards in a UNC career. Cole is the only Northern Colorado player to be named as All-American in the NCAA Division I era, dating to 2004. A graduate student from Parker, Cole led the Big Sky Conference with 10.22 assists per set and 1,339 total assists. Her .3 aces per set ranked ninth in the Big Sky. She placed fourth in the country in total assists, 38th in assists per set, and 97th in aces per game. Cole was named the Big Sky Conference Most Valuable Player, Setter of the Year, a first-team all-conference selection following the regular season, and Setter of the Year and a member of the conference all-tournament team. Sid is very deserving of this distinction, UNC coach Lindsay Oates said in a news release. This is her second time being named an All-American, which is quite an honor. She leaves UNC as one of the best to ever play in a Bears jersey. Cole and three others earn academic awards. Cole, Bryn Raines, Sam Steele, and Alea Tasena received academic all-district recognition by the College Sports Communicators on Tuesday. The College Sports Communicators selects the academic all-district teams, recognizing the athletes for their performance on the court and in the classroom. The CSC program honors players in four college divisions, NCAA Division I, Division II, Division III, and NAIA. Steele made the all-district team for the third time. She graduated with a 4.0 GPA and earned a master's degree in sports and exercise science. Cole was named to the academic team for the second time. She has a 4.0 GPA in pursuit of a master's in elementary education. Raines is working toward a bachelor's degree in sports and exercise science with a 3.92 GPA. She is on the academic team for the second time. Tasena is a sophomore and eligible for the first time. She has a 3.83 GPA studying elementary education. And now it's time for Jumble, that scrambled word game. Unjumble the letters to make a proper word. The clue letters in each of these answers becomes the jumbled letters to answer the puzzle. The cartoon is a clue to the jumble, where the answer is typically a pun or word that is pronounced the same as another word but differs in meaning. First word, U-T-I-Y-N. Clues are letters 1 and 3. Second word, L-I-Q-T-U. Clues are letters 1 and 4. Third word, Y-D-D-B-E-A. Clues are letters 1 and 3. Fourth word, S-I-S-N-I-T. Clues are letters 1, 4, and 6. The cartoon depicts two people in an office in a warehouse. One person says, "We have to pay for the new filtration system by the end of the year." The other person says, "We'll need to get rid of inventory quickly. I can offer customers half off." The struggling bottled water company lowered prices in an attempt to increase its one word of 9 letters. And the answers to last week's jumble, aback, audit, nuance, scorch. The line to buy tickets for the movie was so long that they didn't stand a chance. Asking Eric, R. Eric Thomas. Husband's grocery splurges create strife. Dear Eric, my husband and I, both happily retired with good pensions and Social Security, make our weekly grocery trips together. We take turns paying with our Flight Points credit cards. Once the bill arrives, we split the cost of our groceries down the middle, sharing the expenses equally for everything we purchase at our preferred grocery store. Our grocery shopping typically includes a few low-cost personal favorites that not both of us enjoy eating, but for the sake of simplicity, we have agreed to split the grocery costs evenly, 50-50. My husband sometimes indulges in a piece of costly extra-smoked pork he orders online from a specialty shop. I dislike it. The smell alone is off-putting to me, so I don't eat it. He insists that I should also share the cost of this, based on our agreement to split the cost of groceries. However, since it's a special order for himself, I don't believe I should be responsible for half the cost, which he thinks is unfair and disloyal to our agreement. I find it unreasonable to pay for something that's ordered outside our normal grocery purchases, that is pricier than our usual groceries, and that I won't consume. Who is being unreasonable here? Grocery grousing. Dear grocery, probably both of you, and the shop that is pricing the pork. I think your husband is being more unreasonable than you, frankly, because you made an agreement. But this is so needlessly complicated, it's amazing that it didn't become an issue earlier. Is all food groceries, or is only food purchased inside the grocery store groceries? What if you buy Girl Scout cookies on the curb outside the store? Most importantly, what is this really about? Do you feel that you're being more fiscally responsible and don't have the same opportunities for indulgences? If so, it's wise to carve out 2 separate lines in the budget for indulgences. One for you, one for him. If he blows all his budget on 1 or 2 pork purchases, and you still have yours to do with whatever you want, them's the breaks. But again, think and talk about what is really going on here. Is this about feeling financial insecurity? Is this about an unequal share of household responsibilities? Is the pork a reflection of a pattern of cavalier behavior? All of these can be worked on and discussed, but to do so, you have to get to the meat of the problem. Dear Eric, I've been in a relationship with my partner, on and off, for years. He promised me that our relationship will be formal for his upcoming birthday, but I found out he cheated on me. It hurts so much. And now he is engaged to her. Now he wants to have a friendship with me. How can I keep him out of my life for good? Heartbroken. Dear Heartbroken, block, delete, and phone a friend, i.e., tell your friends, I need to break this cycle and I need you to help me. If I start talking about reaching out to him, hold me back. I'm sorry that he's been stringing you along. Friendship, in this case, needs to be earned. He's not doing that. It's a great time to move on. Dear Eric, as a retired dental hygienist, I feel the need to add some critical information for the 74-year-old who wants to refuse dental treatment and feels railroaded into making appointments. Dental dilemma. What this individual needs is for the provider to explain and show them what is happening in their mouth. These days, we have digital x-rays and intraoral cameras. Dental personnel can use these tools to magnify on the computer screen the problem areas so they can be pointed out to a layperson. Many older people take multiple medications that have dry mouth as a side effect. Saliva is a natural cleansing agent and helps to keep the bad bacteria away. Add dry mouth to poor toothbrushing and flossing due to a loss of dexterity as we age, and one could wind up with a mouthful of decay, as well as periodontal disease. Perhaps Dental Dilemma could get a second opinion from another dentist if they're not comfortable asking for better explanations. Just like cancer left untreated grows, small dental issues have a way of becoming big dental issues. Veteran Hygienist. Dear Hygienist, thank you for this perspective. I agree. Dental health is extremely important, and the letter writer should also strongly consider seeking another opinion or getting a more in-depth explanation of the problems that the first dentist is concerned about. It can often be hard to advocate for oneself in medical settings, but taking the time to ask questions until one understands will help patient and provider. Send questions to R. Eric Thomas at eric@askingeric.com. Thank you for joining us for the Friday, December 20, 2024 edition of the Greeley Tribune, read by Thomas Fears.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.